It was Christmas Eve, 1885. The Rooneys owned a farm just outside of Ottawa, Illinois. Today, Ottawa straddles I-80 as it cuts across the state just south of Chicago, but in 1885, it was farms as far as you could see. Patrick Rooney and his wife were celebrating the holiday with a very small gathering. Besides Mr. and Mrs. Rooney, they were joined by their son John, who owned a neighboring farm about a mile away. And there was a fourth, their farmhand named John Larson, and together, all four of them sat around the kitchen table. It would be safe to assume there were stories and laughter. I can even imagine good food and treats they wouldn't have eaten all year long. We know for certain, though, that Mr. Rooney had a jug of whiskey that he'd picked up in town earlier in the week. They were all thirsty. But life on a farm doesn't come with days off. There are always things to do. So at some point in the evening, their farmhand, John Larson, staggered up to bed to get some rest. A short while later, the Rooney's son John said his goodbyes and left to go home to his own farm and his own responsibilities, which left Mr. and Mrs. Rooney alone in the kitchen to clean up the mess. Typical, right? Moms and dads always seem to get stuck with the cleanup. Early in the morning, Larson dragged himself out of bed and down to the kitchen. Yes, it was Christmas morning, but he had daily chores to do. It was pitch black in the kitchen, though, so he pulled out a match and struck it against the stove so he could see what he was doing. The match, though, refused to light. He felt it. The tip hadn't broken off, but it was covered in grease. He didn't remember the stove being that filthy the night before, but he shrugged and grabbed a clean match. This one he struck on his thumbnail, and a flame sparked to life. He nearly dropped it, though, not because it was hot or he was clumsy, because sitting in the same chair he'd been in the night before was Mr. Rooney, eyes closed, head hung low. Larson must have had a heart attack, but he quickly recovered and said good morning to his employer. But Mr. Rooney didn't reply. He didn't reply, you see, because he was dead. Larson looked briefly around the room, but he didn't see Mrs. Rooney, so he bolted out the kitchen door, saddled his horse, and rode hard toward young John Rooney's farm. After he found him, the pair rode back. John Rooney brought a lamp, and the two men stepped back into the kitchen. John was heartbroken to find his father's body in the chair, but equally concerned for his mother. He stepped around the table to walk toward the door to the stairs. She could very well still be in bed, after all. And that's how he found the hole in the floor. I mean it, there was a hole in the wooden floor of their kitchen. It was big, too, maybe 3 feet by 4 feet, and the edges were blackened as if they'd been scorched. Hanging his lantern over the opening, John gasped. There, just a couple feet down, was Mrs. Rooney. Well, sort of. There wasn't a lot of her left, to be honest. A skull, 1 foot, some vertebrae, and a lot of ash. And that was it. It was clear from her remains and the scorch marks on the floor that she'd burned to death, but there was no clue anywhere in the room as to how. That's what the police were for, at least in theory, and they almost immediately blamed the only person who survived in the house that morning, John Larson. His employers had both died, and he hadn't, so that made him a suspect, and as a result, the man was put on trial. Almost immediately, though, new evidence cleared Larson's name. Solid, irrefutable proof that Larson had been asleep while Mrs. Rooney had burned alive. According to the police, so much soot filled the kitchen as a result of the fire that it actually drifted upstairs, and then it settled on everything. Furniture, decorations, shelves, even, it seems, John Larson. Because when the police examined his bed, there was a clean white silhouette of his body still on the sheets. While Larson slept, you see, Mrs. Rooney's ashes had rained down on him like snow. The coroner told the jury that it had been a simple case of spontaneous human combustion, but that didn't give an immediate answer to the cause of Mr. Rooney's death. Yes, she had burned to death. The evidence was pretty clear on that. But what about her husband? That, the coroner said, was another simple matter. Mr. Rooney, it seems, had been killed by his wife, but not intentionally. He had died of asphyxiation, suffocating to death on the fumes of his wife's burning corpse.